Blog Talk Radio.
What's going on, Grudge World? It's your boy Reggie. We're here for another episode of Kansas No Time Grudge. I'm tired as hell today, so I hope we can get some participation. If not, this will be a short show. It seems like we should have a few guys come on and have some words to say, because the track opened for the first time this weekend, so hopefully somebody went down, did some testing, got their cars lined out, and yeah, hopefully they ready to lock somebody in. I hope so, because I can't go through the track without trying to find something. Like I said, the season just started. It's early, so, you know, if people ain't doing nothing right now, you know, I guess ain't nothing wrong with it. But I know them boys down in Texas, shit, that ain't got started. Bushnell with the Grudge Nova, he went down the Boom on Wheels race in Louisiana, and he won the 2 8-inch tie shootout. So big props to Bushnell on winning that shootout. It was a pretty good competition down there, but he fought it out to the end. And he got that old car riding. Yeah, riding good. Just old regular big block. Conventional head. One carburetor with some nitrous on it. So big props out to Bushnell for doing that. At that same race, Tony Bynes, he had a grudge race with Kai Kelly from Street Outlaws. And Tony was in his new car. It's a G-body Malibu, but they call it the new boot. And Kai Kelly gave Tony Bynes the brake. And when they left out, Tony put about a car on him. Well, that didn't last long, because as soon as Tony got moving, damn, Kai Kelly was right there on him. And at the 3:30, drove around him, and he shut it off at the finish line. So it was a good race for the fans to see. I'm sure there was a lot of money floating around on that. But in all reality, you know, them two cars, they don't sit much alike. You know, small tire, a 10.5 versus a big tire, ain't no telling what size it is. You know, Tony Bynes, he the grudge race of the year, so in a race he feel like he got a chance on, he gonna go for it. And when you get to the level that them guys is at, if somebody give you the break, you're just about gonna take it. So they went out there. Tony took a gamble. And, you know, every time you gamble, it don't pay off. So it's a L in his column, but when he was down there, he did run a Grand National. He took the pot on that one. So Tony Bynes, he left Louisiana 1-1. So he looking all right as the grudge racer of the year right now, but it ain't going to last long, because he got the Hannibal Mustang. He always come out and have a strong presence in what he do. Got Wit, 901 Bad Boys, and they look hold the Arsenal cars. Got the Memphis Gangster. They got Junior, Predator. You know, most of them cars run pretty damn good. So Tony got to step it up and stop losing so damn much, or he ain't going to be shit. I don't want to say back in the day, but, you know, 2-3 years ago, Tony Bynes, he was the grudge racer. He would race anybody, anywhere, no matter what car he had or what car he was about to race, you know. He always found a way to pull off a win, but it seemed like everybody, they able to catch up. They got the motors and they got the nitrous, and, you know, everybody bring their own tuners to the track now. So, yeah, everything getting a whole lot closer. The grudge game is a lot more competitive now, and especially in those 28 and 29-inch tire shootouts. Lately, it hasn't been nobody that just stood out as the baddest man on a 28 or 29. So that makes for some good racing, you know. Let me see. I think they had Bobby Cole had a race at Holly Springs, and Keith Szabo in his twin turbo big block small tire Fox body. He had a locked in race with Junior, the GYS Mustang, and he was a hands down favorite to win that. Everybody knew it, but when the lights fell down, you know, he just happened to red light. So that pretty much gave that money away. But, you know, in racing, anything can happen. Even though you might be the clear-cut favorite, you got more power than the guy, you got a better tuner. But if the driver can't do what he got to do, then none of that means shit. So that was a quick little recap of the past weekend. Another quick story on that was Malcolm Storer from Alabama. He went down to Boone on wheels race. And Malcolm, he got a streetcar G-body full of interior. Matter of fact, it's got exhaust all the way out the back bumper. So it's a true streetcar. He was trying to get some guy in a silver Monte Carlo to race. And he offered the guy the 60-foot and brake, and the guy still said no. So either his car bad as hell, or the other guy was just scared as hell. I don't know the difference. Same thing to me. But another day, another dollar. Coming up soon is the first no prep at Kansas International Dragway on April the 11th in Wichita, Kansas. They have a big tie class, they have a small tie class, and they're going to have a true street class. So if you got your car together and it's ready, you still got time to make some testing tunes if you need to. But come on out, enjoy yourself with that no prep, you know, win some races, maybe win a little money, you know. You got to come on out and see what you can do. You won't know as long as you're sitting at the house. So, I think that's pretty much all that went on this weekend. Yeah, at least that's all I heard about. I'm hoping we get some callers to call in today and give me some feedback. Hey, Colton, did you get rid of that background noise?
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Anything been going on down your way?
Nothing yet. You know, everybody in NTC right now.
Yeah, I heard that. They'll be back and ready to get in them calls as soon as they touch down.
Yep. You know I'm going to be out there lurking, trying to fish, as they call it these days.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Got plenty of time to get it right. Did you decide which intake you was going to put on it?
I'm going to go with the I'm going to get a Holley 650.
Good shit.
You said intake? I already got the intake manifold.
Oh, okay. You went with the Performer, the Edelbrock?
Yep.
Good deal. Hell yeah.
Then I'm going to get the Holley 650 card.
You ready to goddamn roll some gears?
Hey, gear hell. Old school gear jammer.
Yes, sir. Don't even touch the clutch.
Mm-mm. Snatch your ass and keep going. Shit.
I'm telling you, pull it with two hands.
Yep. Stand up with it. Stand up with it.
I'm telling you. Man, I used to watch them videos of them old school cats. They'd be fucking hitting them full speed going down the track. That shit was crazy, man.
Hey, showing that shit no mercy.
None. You think he about to break something, but you know, he working.
Oh, the baby gonna get rid of power steering, man, because that shit's scary.
Yeah. Sometimes that power steering, it don't give you the feedback. You can't tell
what. No.
That one of the first things I did, man.
Yeah, I'm probably get rid of it this weekend.
I'm not familiar with Fox bodies, but when you take that power steering off, do you got to change the rack? The rack and pinion will still work the same.
That's what I got to look into.
Yeah, because I hate to see you take that shit off and then you can't drive it.
Yeah. That bitch, man. It feels weird when you hit it. And, you know, you just turn it like you turn, like I'm turning the Taurus, man. I'm just, you know.
Feel nothing.
No. Yeah. So I don't want to fuck around overcorrected because I don't think I'm turning it enough.
Well, ain't but one way to find out. And that's to do another burnout.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. But, you know what I'm saying, you ain't had it that long, so the more you drive it, the more familiar you'll get with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Get you some seat time, get it figured out. But shit, man, you seen my truck, sometimes that bitch, it'd be all over the road.
Yeah. Babe, you don't ever get out of that, though, unless it's about to cut some grass.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We got to ride it out. What's going on, Steven? Your mic open.
What's up, Reggie? Just got home from work.
I'm good, man.
Go, like always. Thought
hell
I'd
yeah,
actually
I
call
it.
In this time.
Shit, yeah. We ain't doing shit today. We just chit-chatting.
Yeah, I heard. Man,
I mean,
that wreck that happened up last weekend was pretty nasty, huh? That
what
Mustang
wreck?
That looked like that one you posted on Facebook.
Oh yeah, that
Mustang
that
looked like
a track down
it. Went through a
it happened
car
at Phoenix City, Alabama.
It was bad.
Man, I don't know how that guy made it out of that car.
Me either. Didn't look like it had subframe connectors or nothing in it.
Man, nothing at all. Yeah, man.
Oh, wish this weather would clear up.
Yeah, I wish it would, but you know, it's Kansas. Weather changes every 5 minutes.
Yep.
Hell yeah. So you plan on getting your Nova out anytime soon?
Oh, probably a few weeks. Got a little work to do on it. I took a few days off work so I can get under there and straighten some stuff up.
I heard that, man. Got to make sure it's right.
Oh, yeah. I'd hate to blow up a rear end out.
Running. I know, that's right. Hey, give me a quick second.
All right.
I'm back. I had to go check on my little buddy in there.
Yep.
Hell yeah. Man, I wish you could have came out with us the other night, man. We went out and had a little fun.
Yeah, I heard. I seen some videos.
It was fun, man. It, you know what I'm saying? Put the racing spirit back in you just a little bit.
Oh, yeah, I bet. No, I couldn't get out. I had my little one, and car ain't right, so.
Oh, shit, I didn't have mine out there. I was just watching.
Oh, I know.
Hell, yeah. So, I mean, it's a few guys that's building cars and a few guys that's fixing shit on nails, and I'm one of them, so. I figure around mid-summer, right when the weather get good, I think everything starts taking off again.
I hope to be out testing on mine here in about a month, if not less.
You gonna put slicks on it?
Nope. Stay on the drag radials.
I heard that.
See if I can make them work.
Oh, yeah. Huh? As long as you put the power down just right, they'll work.
You know, everything I got is working against them, but, you know, I'll figure it out.
Oh, yeah. Ain't no rocket science, but rocket science. I just say, I had radios on for a while. They worked pretty decent, but when I put that bias plow on there, man, it changed everything. It was more consistent than everything.
That's just out of reach right now.
No, ain't nothing wrong with that.
I think I bought about the only part I'm going to be putting on that car this year, other than some bearings.
Ain't nothing wrong with that. Boy, I'm not feeling this radio show today, I tell you what.
I'm not enjoying the weather. Cold and rainy.
I know it went from fucking 75 and sunny to this shit.
Got teased on Monday with 85, now we're cold and rainy, 50 and rainy, 40 and rainy.
Telling. They say if you don't like the weather, wait 5 minutes.
Oh, yeah. I've been here all my life. I know how that goes.
It's just, you going to try to make it down to the no prep in April?
I have no idea if I'm going to make it down there or not yet.
It's going to be a good event.
I figure that's a good event. 2 or 3 days in advance.
Hell yeah. Hell, it's the first big race up here, up this way, so I'm going to go down there and show my support. Whether my truck ready or not, I'll probably ride down there. Hell yeah. Mm-hmm. Then Anthony got his Wichita Street Fights on April the 25th. I know I'm going to be there for that.
Cool.
Go down there, show my face. Well, I should have my truck ready by then. So, everything go according to plan. That'll be the first definite race on April 25th. Hell yeah. Man, that damn Mustang that crashed still on my mind. That was a 5 second car in the 8 mile, man.
Whatever, 592 that day is what they were saying.
Something like that.
No cage, didn't look like it had subframe connectors or nothing. The picture prior to the wreck, it looked like a pretty nice car.
Oh, yeah, it seemed like it had good suspension and good rear end and good molding and shit. But man, when I first saw the picture of it, they hadn't posted a before picture of what the car used to look like. I didn't even know it was a Mustang.
Yeah, I was struggling to figure that out too. But
because the back tire was down there sitting in the passenger seat, man. The,
yep.
The top was buckled.
I know that.
Everywhere except where he was sitting at.
The picture where they showed the before and after, they said the guy was still sitting in there, and you can see his arms. Didn't look like he had long sleeves on or nothing.
Nothing. They said as soon as it happened, he didn't know who he was or where he was at or nothing.
Wow. Kind of.
With just a regular seatbelt, you know that head got knocked around pretty good.
Oh, I'm sure.
But, I mean, a lot of guys, they claim putting a roll cage in the car, make it a race car, and you can't call it a street car no more. So,
hey, mine's a street car. It's got a roll gate in it.
That's right,
roll bar. Let me rephrase that. It's got a roll bar.
Man, a roll bar is better than nothing.
Oh, yeah.
But if that guy got any common sense, that'll be his last race in a car with no roll cage in it.
The way it looked to me, he's going to be building one for a while. So I don't know how much of that was salvageable.
I'm sure the drivetrain was probably good, motor transmission.
I don't know, drive shaft slamming up into the transmission.
Oh, yeah, you're right about that. I didn't even think about it.
That can ruin a lot of stuff. That can go as far as bending the crank.
And so could. I don't know. They got something to think about, I tell you that.
Most definitely.
But, I mean, a lot of guys don't put no emphasis on safety. I mean, that's the outcome, you know what I mean? That dude, man, he could have looked like a busted tomato in there.
Well, in there too, if he had any sort of roll bar or cage or subframe connectors, he probably could have knocked half a second off that car.
Probably so.
I mean, it just helps. It all helps.
Yep, it ties everything together. Another thing, did you notice how the whole car was mangled up except where he was sitting at?
Yeah, I did see that.
Man, that was crazy. That was pure crazy, man. But, you know, to each their own, when I was racing without a cage in my shit, that's because I couldn't afford it. You know what I'm saying? But, and I would have got it done when I first built the truck, but I didn't know how fast it was going to be. I didn't want to have a cage in a 12-second truck, you know?
Anymore? It don't bother me one way or another. Because, I mean, eventually you're going to make improvements. You might as well have the good basis.
That's right. That's the truth, man. Yeah.
And there's a lot of stuff I would have done different on mine when I built it, but I was in a hurry to get it together, get it out. And I've had to redo a few things here and there just because of that.
Man, that's part of it, man. Don't nobody build them right the first time. Shit, even pros with they big budgets, shit, they still end up going back to redo shit. So that's part of it. Man, I went back and redid some of my wiring, and I just did the wiring on it damn last year. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Change location or change wire size? Or
no, I put a progressive on it, and I had to rewire the whole nitrous circuit because I had everything operating on the ground circuit. With this progressive, it needed to see a 12-volt signal. So I had to go redo everything.
Oh, yeah.
No, I just like wiring stuff up on the ground circuit, so if you get a wire that get nicked or something like that, you know, you ain't got nothing that's going to put out. Right. So, I mean, it is what it is. I'm happy.
Oh, yeah.
I picked up the Nitrous Express Maximizer 4 Progressive. And it do some pretty good stuff. It'll wrap it in based on RPM, time, mile power, RPM ratio, all kind of stuff, man. It's pretty good.
Sweet.
Hell yeah. I wish I had one a while back. Because for the longest, you know, all I had was a micro switch on the carburetor. So I was never really leaving under full throttle because I didn't want to turn the kit on.
Yeah. I'm not quite ready for that yet.
Oh, yeah. You always ready for a nitrous kit.
Oh, no.
Hell, yeah. Shit, if you got damn, if you feel froggy, shit, I let you borrow mine. I don't give a damn. I got
no,
couple bottles. We'll get you going.
Not with that one.
Ain't wrong with that though. Man, I almost went and picked up a Camaro Sunday, an 86 Camaro. Had a 305, 305, 700R4. Clean car. It wasn't a T-top or nothing like that. But it needed a carburetor on it. And it had a spread bolt intake on it. And all I got is a square bolt carburetor. So I'd have had to buy an intake for it. And that was that would already sent me down the wrong path. And I would have had two race cars instead of a daily driver. So,
yeah, that's...
But that's all it takes. You put an intake on it, and you're like, well, since I got the intake off, I'm going to slide a little cam in there. So it'll be a never-ending battle all over again.
Then it's more cubic inch, then it's better head.
Damn right. I love cubic inch.
Start mirroring it, bigger stalker.
Damn right.
I try to keep my daily.
Yep. Man, I do not feel like doing this damn show today.
Yeah. Seems like everybody starts calling in about 7.
Yeah.
That's what I've noticed the last few weeks.
Yeah,
6:45, 7 o'clock.
I had to sit there and talk to myself for an hour, though. And I don't do this show for me. I can drag racing out the show. You know, I do this show so, you know, people who ain't quite in the loop about what's going on or they ain't able to be here and be there or whatnot, just to, you know, bring racing to everybody, you know. But, yeah. I don't know, man. I was expecting to see more people from out our way to call in and talk jump, but they don't. I get more callers from Chicago, Detroit, Texas, places like that, versus people who even live right here in Kansas.
Yeah, I don't know why that is. People busy, going home, going straight to the garage, working on the car. Who knows
that,
this time of year?
Well, people just don't want to talk on the radio. You know,
or that.
Hell yeah. But you know, we'll see how it go, whatnot. And if it don't start picking up, I just quit doing it.
Yeah, that makes my Wednesday nights kind of boring.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I'm sure there's a few people working second shift too. That probably don't help either.
Yeah. I know my buddy from Wichita, Chris, he usually listens to it online.
Yeah, that's what I've been doing. Tonight I decided to call in and talk. That's why I'm usually texting you.
Right. Hell yeah.
Keep my hands free so I can do other things. But it seemed like it was going to be a long hour with no bed on, so I just called in today.
Yeah, man. It's usually around 7 o'clock. If ain't nothing going on my show, I link the show in together with the show from Texas, the Round Table, and talk with them guys. Mm-hmm. I don't see that shit happening tonight, though.
It may not make it that long.
Hell no.
Is there even anyone else on listening?
Nope. Well, I got my boy Coleman from Manhattan and you. That's it.
Oh, man.
Usually I have, you know, a decent number of callers on there listening, but, you know, it is what it is.
I'm sure I'll get to meet Coleman here sometime this year.
Oh, yeah. Usually about every time I go racing, he ends up doing the crew chiefing for me, you know. So
I see.
More likely, if I'm out racing, he dealt with me. I'm a road dog right there.
Good, good.
Oh, yeah, he got his own car now, so I'm about to turn around and help him out.
I seen that.
Got him old foxy lady.
Those are good cars to play with.
Oh, yeah, man. Hell, yeah.
Looks like he's keeping it Ford tired, too.
For now.
Until he wants to go fast.
Yeah, for now.
It seems like when you open up the owner's manual for a Mustang, the first rule of maintenance is to throw the damn motor away. Put a Chevy.
That's why they make all that K-frames for them.
Yeah. Come to speak of, Jason out of Wichita, he's selling a K number right now. A Fox body.
He sold it already, man.
Oh, for real?
He sold that thing under 30 minutes, man.
I bet it didn't last long since it's for LSX.
I mean, I ain't a Ford guy, man, but them Ford motors, they'll make some horsepower for real.
Well, I got that.
Shit, Jason car, it's still Ford power. Before he put this motor in there, it was Ford power still, so.
Well, you got to see my neighbor's car Saturday.
Who that?
That Fairmont.
Oh yeah, man, that's clean car.
His,
I like it.
That's one of his two. He's got a little Ford Ranger that's, I don't know if he's putting it on the street or not either, but it's quick too.
Is it that light blue one?
Yep.
Yeah, I seen that at the track.
Yeah. Pretty good. Pretty good stuff.
Oh, yeah. Man, that car ran strong, too. All motor, small block Ford. I was impressed with it.
You need some different in the area.
You need what?
No, can't everything. I said you need some different in the area. Can't everything be a Chevrolet?
Yeah, but, you know, when you're trying to go fast, there ain't one way to do it.
Yeah, it's cheapest and easiest way, it seems like.
Hell yeah, even if you got a Ford, shit, put a bow tie on the front, that's 100 horsepower. Hell yeah, man. It's going to be good when there's no prep race get closer, man, and all them guys come up from Oklahoma and Texas and shit. It's going to be some fast shit out there.
I'm sure it will be.
And if my truck ain't ready, I'm going to be right there in the burnout box with my ball of Hennessy.
That seems to be pretty popular around here, is the no prep.
Yeah.
It brings a lot of people out.
It's a way to street race at the track, so a lot of the grudge guys from down south they don't really like the no prep stuff because, you know, they're making so much power on them small tires. They don't really want to. They don't want to deal with trying to fight it down track.
Well, I don't know. I don't know how much money I would chance on a race on no prep because, man, every lap you don't know what it's going to do. It could go, it goes straight down there. Yeah. Go straight down there hauling mail one time, and the next time you're spinning to the 8th mile.
Yep. That's true. Well, it wouldn't be so bad if they cut the no preps back to 8th mile, but they trying to run quarter mile on no prep, and that's when all them guys start crashing. Like Big Ball, man, he killed that Mustang.
That's I'm an 8th mile guy myself.
Yeah, me too, man. Ain't no need to go that far. Ain't no need.
Well, I figure it this way. You're doing over 100, 120 an 8th mile. Ain't no reason to run clear to quarter. I know a lot of them cars are running 150, 180 in the 8th. You know, when you get talking about the drag radio classes and all that, man, they're... That just gets dangerous.
Oh, yeah. And especially with these cars weighing what they weigh today, most of them 3,400 pounds.
You get a good gust of wind under that 1,000 foot at 190 mile an hour, that could be the end.
Kind of
like the,
shit. Look at Kevin Mullins' Camaro. He was running the 8th mile and did a small wheelie, and it put it up on the parachute mount.
That last.
Yep.
I mean, they started cutting that back at MCA, cutting them back to 8th mile when they started running in the low fours, middle fours.
That was a good move. Same thing NHRA did with the top fuel, cut them back. What's crazy is now with technology, they're running the same speed as they was in the full quarter.
Oh, yeah.
And so is. So, I mean, it gave them a little bit more shutdown room. That's about it.
Well, and that's what they needed because they had people driving out the back through the sand traps.
Man, I think that class is a waste of money.
Well, I don't know too many people that have the money to run that class, so...
I don't know too many people who got the interest to watch it. I know I don't. Man,
my whole deal with it is once you've seen one, you've seen them all.
Yes,
they're all the same. They either spin or they go.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's the truth.
Larry Dixon's crash over the weekend. Car broke in half.
I didn't see the video, but I saw a picture somebody posted up, and it looked like the damn concrete barrier was down there rubbing on his big toe.
Picture. The video, he gets about, I wouldn't be able to guess an exact, I'd say somewhere around 500 to 700 feet, and it arched up in the middle, and the frame broke, split in half.
I heard that. Do you know if they build them cars on jigs or what?
As far as I know, they do.
I don't know, man. Could have been some defective welding or they just put too many passes on that chassis or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Weak tube. Could have been anything.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure they checked it good, but...
I don't understand why that type of racing is even still funded. Because right now, if it ain't small tire racing, people don't want to watch it. You know what I'm saying? And that's a fact.
The thing is,
whether it's grudge racing or class racing, it's all small tires. It ain't no big tire classes out there.
The one thing you have to look at with the NHRA is they're going after the P people who aren't constantly watching. You know, they got to throw that big, fast car out there that makes 10,000 horsepower to bring in a spectator that wouldn't normally go.
I know, but that shit boring. I went to a top, the first Top Fuel race ever I went to was up here when they came to Topeka. When the first Top Fuel went down, man, that shit was exciting. But the next one, man, I was ready to go home. That shit was boring as hell.
I have been going for the last 12 or 15 years, and there was one Sunday afternoon I fell asleep in the bleachers watching, and one of the funny cars blew up on the starting line. I was asleep. I was out.
Sleep at the damn track.
Sleeping at the track in the bleachers with Top Fuel running. That's how exciting
it's the Outlaw Streetcar Reunion races in Memphis, Tennessee on March the 28th. You probably won't find one person that's even sitting down.
Nope.
So they about to see some exciting shit. You know what I mean?
I'm pretty sure we got a local guy that's headed out there. I think Barry's going out there.
I'm probably going to end up going too.
It sounds like some of them Street Outlaws guys are going to try and make that one too.
Yeah. I think they got the Murder Noble pretty much straightened out.
And the Crow. We're talking about taking both of them down on 275s.
I heard that, man. That's crazy. Did you see that video of Kyle Kelly racing Tony Byers?
Yes, I did.
My goodness. And let me tell you something. Tony Byers is one. Well, he ain't one. He was just crowned Grudge Racer of the Year for 2014. So he just got manhandled. You know what I'm saying? I know it's two different classes of cars, but he is the cream of the crop in Grudge Racer. And he just
The thing with that, though, is it because was he crowned that because he races anybody? Or was he crowned that because he beats everybody?
It's five criteria. The number of races, the win-loss ratio, the quality of race, meaning he racing people that has a big reputation like he do, how far he traveled, because they take travel into account. And the last criteria was like the swag, how he carries himself. Is he cocky or do he get punked out and all that shit? Tony Byers, he can talk shit and negotiate races with the best of them. So out of all those five, criteria, he was crowned the Grudge Racer of the Year. But he just when I say he got bitch slapped by a street racer.
Pro mod. With an admitted pro mod.
It's a top sportsman.
Yeah. About the same, aren't they?
No, because a pro mod is unlimited. They can stretch the wheelbase and alter whatever they need to. But a top sportsman car has got certain limitations that the chassis can't get built under.
So it's basically you took a body and you built a chassis in it. Yeah, pro stuff.
Right.
Style. Yep. Here's the body built a chassis.
By the looks of it, his top sportsman car is, it seemed to have a steel body on it. I mean, I don't know that for sure, but it don't seem to be fiberglass. Say again?
If you look at some of the pictures, that front end don't line up real great. I think the front fenders and the hood
Front end can be fiberglass.
Yeah, yes, the rest of the body, I'm guessing, is probably
steel. Yeah, the rest of the roof and the quarter panels have to be steel. I mean, yeah, he was outclassed in that race, man, but on every group on Facebook that's got something to do with grudge racing, you would always see Street Outlaws is fake, them boys ain't fast, bring it to the track, you'll fuck them up. Well, he came to the track, and it was the other way around.
Well, and that's kind of like when they posted Murder Nova's times on the radials. Man, when they first started Street Outlaws, them cars were slow. 460 ain't slow. Not on a small tire.
Yeah, they ride. If I had to guess when that show first came out, I would say the Sonoma probably ran 460s. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
But shit,
I'm sure the top three or four were probably high fours, middle fours,
right,
low fives, and then as you go down the list, they get slower, obviously.
Yeah.
I mean, it was probably a year or so before they started the show. We saw Farm Truck was up here at Harlem Park, and he was doing 2 foot wheelies, running low tens, high nines in the quarter. So
I mean
for that to be their number 10 guy, that's
you see that red Chevy too?
The one Dave's building?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm curious to see what they happen between him and the Sonoma owner.
Man, the truth will never come out.
Oh, yeah, it will. I'm sure it'll be on the show. But it ain't really letting it out, but I'm sure it will.
Yeah, with social media, man, don't shit stay public. I mean, stay private no more.
It's hard, especially when you're that big of a personality.
Well, actually, at that time, like big as them guys is not really private no more because they public figures. You know what I mean?
Yep. Yep. That's, when you're out in public view, everything's.
And then off limits.
It don't seem to hold them back any because they're just an average person like the rest of us. But at the same time, a lot of stuff I'm sure comes out that may or may not want out.
But I mean, you gotta take the good with the bad, you know.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I still find it somewhat funny that my 6-year-old knows more of the drivers and cars on Street Outlaws than he does in HRA, and he's been going to every race in our area pretty much since he was born.
But you know what, though, man? That just tell you that heads up racing, well, racing that we can relate to,
it's more exciting.
It's, yeah.
That's more memorable.
Right there. Yeah. Because, I mean, if it's something you
want to watch, you're going to remember it.
Right, exactly.
Even when we go out to the track, I'd prefer, you know, when NHRA is here, I prefer to go on Fridays or Saturdays so I can watch the lower classes run.
Oh, hell yeah.
I mean, there's always something about a car doing a wheelie that just makes your day.
Hell yeah. And I mean, when people see cars like, you know, real cars, they can relate to it. They can look at it and say, that's a Camaro. That's a Mustang. That's an S10. You know what I mean? But you get the NHRA classes and you're like, that's a red car. That's a blue one. That's a yellow one.
Hey, look, that one's sponsored by NAPMA.
Right. When they make the qualifying passes, they make qualifying passes, it's a Dodge. They go to the pits and change the stickers, come back, it's a fucking Chevy.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say.
Yeah.
I mean, that's even if you look at NASCAR over the last few years, they're even trying to make them more identifiable because they were the same car with different stickers for a long time.
Yeah, when they first started that Calls Up Tomorrow shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I mean, small tire dope slammer racing, that's the future, man. And street racing, grudge racing, class racing, that's where it's at now. You got a lot of guys that used to be class racing, they coming over into the grudge world because it's financially cheaper for them. It's cheaper for them to bet $3,000 a race than to try to go six rounds at a class race. You know what I mean?
Well, and I was going to bring up
when you're grudge racing, you don't have to run your car balls to the walls every pass. You know, in class racing, you damn near about to blow it up every pass.
Yeah, and there's a lot of them. Class cars, you got $100,000, $150,000
in them. Easy.
And you're it's basically a stock car.
Yeah. You can look at it and say, that's a Mustang.
You're like for example, stock eliminator class. Those cars aren't cheap. And they're hunting for tenths, thousandths of a second to try and be better than their competition.
Right.
And they got as much money as some of these grudge racers have in theirs that are running in the fours and fives in the 8 month.
Yeah. Now, don't take it the wrong way, man, but it's a lot of grudge cars out there. They got over 100K in them real easy.
You can see it. But they're also running. My point is they're also running 2 to 3 seconds faster than the 8 mile.
Right.
That's
why.
Quarter. They run quarter.
But, I mean, grudge racing, in drag racing, period, you never get all of your investment back. But in grudge racing, you can get some of it back. You know what I mean? Through the course of, I say, 3 or 4 years, you can make $10,000. But class racing, shit, you might spend $50,000 and you ain't got a nickel back. You know what I mean? So,
well, it could go that way in grudge racing, too, if you can't pick races. Be negative.
But most of the time, though, if a lot of the older seasoned veterans see a guy fucking up like that, they're going to talk to him. They'll be like, look, man, you need to change this or don't race him because you ain't fast enough. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But still, in the overall scope of it, you can choose your races, you know?
Yep.
Class racing, if you know you have 520s, yeah, you run 520s and the guy next to you go 080s, you know you're going to lose. You know, but in a grudge race, you know, anything can happen.
Oh, yeah.
So that's why grudge racing is the best fucking motorsport in the world right there. Because you control your own outcome. It's all on you.
You have a say in what happens with your race.
Right, and you ain't got to pay NHRA $150 to get into the event.
Yep.
You just pay your entry fee and get a tech card, and you can go race.
Mm-hmm.
Hell yeah. Hey, if we got a call on the line that want to jump in and say something, hit the one button, I'll open your microphone up.
You got some more callers?
Finally, yeah, we got somebody to call in.
It's getting close to 7.
Yeah, you're right. You said it.
I've been listening since you started. I don't always call in and listen. I usually just turn on the internet and listen to.
Yeah, like when you listen on the internet, I know you already do it, but this is just to the people who are listening right now. If you got my phone number or you got me on Facebook, you can private message me a question or a topic or text it to me or whatnot, and you know, we'll talk about it. Cause my show, it ain't scripted. I'll never come on here with specific stuff I want to talk about. So if you got a question about something, or you find out something just happened in the racing world, but hell, really, it ain't got to be racing. Just it's a talk show. We come on here to talk. So this is a 2-hour show. Anything y'all want to talk about, we can do that. So that's that. Fucking all. I got me some fucking new slicks to go on my shit. So hopefully we can, you know what I'm saying, get them front tires up in the air a little bit.
Yeah, just hopefully as long as you don't put it on the bumper like that one time.
No, that shit ain't gonna happen no more. I'll make sure that don't happen. It was fun while it was going on, but after it was over, I didn't want that shit to happen no more.
I'm sure there was a lot of thought going through that. Hadn't it up a second when it happened. Do I lift? Do I stay in it? Is it gonna come down?
Well, it came up, and I'm used to it coming up a little bit. But then it kept going. Next thing I know, I was looking at the damn lights. I was like, what the fuck?
Is it still straight?
I didn't feel nothing going on crazy with the chassis. So I figured it was still going straight. So, shit, I pulled second gear, and it came on down real easy. Shit, I rolled it out.
Yep.
Because one thing you don't want to do when – you know, you're doing a wheel stand, you don't want to let out the gas. So now you're going to replace tie rod ends and oil pans and all kinds of shit.
Bend your frame, crush your headers, destroy your transmission, break your spring. There's a lot of stuff there that ain't going to like that landing.
Right. So everybody that's out there listening, if you ever get in the car, and that bitch go up on the bumper, hold it down, and shift the gear. That's all I can say. Unless you got fucking retarded power, then you just up shit creek without a paddle.
It'll come down eventually.
Eventually, on one side of the wall.
Oh, that Tina wreck. Yeah. Some street out.
My goodness, man. Why won't she just stop racing?
You know, my honest opinion would be to get rid of that freaking truck.
Ain't nothing wrong with the truck. Think about it. When she crashed the truck at that no prep race, she stayed in the gas too long.
Yeah.
And then she started overcorrecting, and she flipped it. Well, this last pass she did when she rolled it, as soon as she let go of the trans brake, that shit went straight into tie shake, and she stayed in the gas. You know what I'm saying?
Well, the part of what I saw there, them barriers look like the ones on the highway. They have that slope at the bottom, kind of like a curb.
They all do.
Instead of being just a flat wall, well, once you hook that with a tire, there ain't nowhere to go but up.
But what I'm saying is, when she felt the tie shake, she should have just got out of it.
Shut it down, let it recover.
When that shit goes to tie shake, when it tie shake, just get out of it, because that pass over with. And I heard somebody say it snapped the axle or some shit. Well, if she had got out of it, it probably wouldn't have broke nothing.
Yep.
I mean, it's kind of like once it get moving, she's just along for the ride.
Yeah.
I mean, it is what it is. It ain't my money.
It ain't mine either.
But I think I contribute that accident and when Barney busted up his whole front end at the track. I think they came to the track with their street setups in, and they wasn't getting enough wheel speed off the line, and they was dead hooking them slicks. Because you dead
probably
hook
so.
The slick. Yeah, when you dead hook the slick, it's either going to climb up the ring gear like Barney did, or it's going to fucking tie shape like hell. So didn't either one of them leave with no power. The fucking Varley dumbass driver, that bitch got up on the bumper, he slammed on the brakes. I was like, this gotta be the most retarded dude I've ever seen in my life. Right, you know? I guess everybody gotta learn, you know.
Well, and then, you know, after that, and spending whatever terribly large amount they spent to fix it, still didn't like the idea of putting wheelie bars on it. Why not? It's going up. Do something. I mean, if you got the front end as tight as you can get it, and it's still going up that high, you got to do something.
But regardless if you got wheelie bars on it or not, if he don't hit that slick with enough power, he gonna get tie shaped.
Mm-hmm.
Or he gonna break the wheelie bars or something, you know. That's what I don't know. Maybe people don't realize the difference between the street and the track and the whole concept of getting wheel speed with a slick.
So, oh, yeah.
They learned it by writing them checks. Hell yeah.
About the only thing I learned about breaking stuff is it's going to sit in the garage for a while.
Yeah, I know the feeling.
Because I ain't trying to break stuff. That's money I don't have to fix it.
Yeah. That money damn sure don't grow on trees. I wish it did. I'd plant me a couple.
I'd have 4 or 5 of them in the backyard.
Yeah, we'll start a damn tree farm. Hell yeah.
So is anybody else on and listening?
Say it again?
Anybody else on and yet wanting to talk?
Yeah. We got quite a few people on listening, but don't nobody want to hit the one button and say nothing. So
somebody got to have an opinion about something.
About something. I don't give a fuck what they want to talk about. Hell, we can talk about fucking how to wash a car. I don't give a shit. Come up with something.
Favorite barbecue at a car show.
Hell yeah. That's the damn truth. Fucking one thing I will say that came out of me getting this radio show is I was able to, you know, reach out to people and shit. And I got Anthony at his event, the Wichita Street Fight. I got him to turn the clocks off. So that's a plus.
Nice.
So the guys who do want to come from out of town, they ain't got to worry about their time getting flashed up on the board because it's a clocks off event now.
Good. That might be one of the first ones in this area to do that.
Oh, it'll be deep.
Been a time race.
It ain't been done. The only clocks off that was around here was when they had that list racing down in Wichita. That was clocks off.
Cool.
Yeah, I used to go down there, man, but people were damn near scared to race. I would drive 2 hours down there to race, and only get one race, and then drive 2 hours back. I said, the hell with that shit. Hell yeah. I was number 9 on that list. And then one night I went up to like number 5. Then I said, fuck that. I ain't going back. it wasn't worth it.
That was a track only list.
Yeah, they ain't want to put no money on it or nothing. So I said, fuck it. Yep. Man. So shit. Hell, I guess since me and you the only ones on here talking, hell, if we're going to talk shit, we can fucking Just get on the regular telephone and talk. When y'all stay on this damn show?
Don't bother me none.
Hell no. So shit,
you got any other speaking people up there?
Somebody's online listening. If you want to hit the one button, say something, I open up your microphone. If not, we probably going to go ahead and shut this shit down. I'm tired of small talking. I can't do it for another hour. So, Steve, if you ain't got nothing to say, man, I'm going to go ahead and shut this shit down.
I'm running out. So.
All right. Well, shit. If you come up with anything else, man, just hit me on the text message, brother.
Oh, I will.
All right.
Talk to you later.
Later.
Bye.